Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled this morning to be joined by the CEO of Lee Health, Larry Antonucci. Larry's going to talk to us about Lee Health, about strategy, about advice for leaders, and more. Larry, thank you so much for joining us today. Take a moment and introduce yourself.
Sure. Dr. Larry Antonucci, I'm president and CEO of Lee Health. I was a practicing obstetrician gynecologist for many years and then started a multi-specialty group and ran that for a while, and about 13 years ago joined the system full-time in an administrative role, and for the past 3 years, I've served as president and CEO.
What is the journey like going from physician to CEO, or even physician out of sort of core day-to-day practice into administrative leadership? What was that like? What was that evolution like for you?
Well, it was one that I did not plan. You know, my goal was to be a practicing obstetrician gynecologist throughout my career. And then the opportunity presented itself in the mid-90s when many groups were being purchased by hospital systems, and our group wanted to remain independent. So I led a consolidation of groups and basically, you know, fell into that role after going back to graduate school and getting a graduate degree. Similarly, in 2007, I was called by the then CEO of Lee Health and said, we'd like you to come on board. And it was the opportunity to affect healthcare in a bigger way, you know, rather than seeing one patient at a time, being able to do it 1,000 patients a day, essentially, with a large health system. So the transition for me was the right opportunity at the right time. And staying in the community really was a benefit for me because I had great relationships with the practicing physicians. So I really had, I think, a head start in trying to move the ball on quality, safety, et cetera.
Let me ask you a question. When you talk to physicians, and I think this was more so 10, 20 years ago than it might be today, a huge amount of physicians at one point had this very sort of negative view towards hospital leadership. They sort of viewed hospital leadership at one point as the enemy and physicians as their ally. And that sort of has changed over the last 10 to 20 years or so. Were you one of these physicians that, how did you look at hospital leadership when you were a full-time practicing physician?
Well, I think there is always a natural tension between a medical staff and an administration in my mind. And having lived in both worlds, I've gotten the appreciation of seeing it from both sides. I would agree that as a practicing physician, many times I felt that the hospital administration didn't really understand my issues, that we were not aligned frequently. And as a result, what you found back then is that people, physicians that were involved in medical leadership, whether it's medical executive committees, were there not necessarily to advance the cause of the hospitals, but to look out for their own interests and to know what the health system or hospital was doing so that they could react in their own practices. That's changing now, and it's changing a lot. Part of that, of course, is due to the change in employment status. You know, we have a large percentage of physicians who are actually employed by health systems and have a vested interest in the success of the system. But I also think it's due to the change in the landscape where payment methods have changed, coordination of care has become more important, and I think physicians are beginning to see that.
Thank you. Lee Health, in your tenure, in the 13 years you've been there, has gone through a remarkable improvement. It's become a great system. It's well recommended. It's grown in stature a great deal. Obviously, you, like all systems right now, are trying to deal with economic issues. Well, the world has changed this pandemic and so forth. But overall, Lee Health has grown to be a remarkable system in the last decade or two. Talk to us about two or three of the things that Lee Health that you're particularly proud of.
If you look at our system, we've been around for over 100 years, and we are a public not-for-profit. In fact, we're the third largest public health system in the country. What's unique about us is that we receive no tax revenue. So we survive strictly on patient revenue and a small amount of philanthropy. And that's one of the things I'm very, very proud of. As a safety net public system, we have not had to rely on tax support. If you look at what we've done in the quality arena, all of our acute care hospitals are leapfrog A-rated. We've improved our CMS star rating, eliminated all Medicare penalties. We've just done a really good job, and the team is and the medical staff have worked together to achieve these things.
Well, that's fantastic. And talk about, as you've been a leader, as you've studied leadership, talk to us for a moment about two or three pieces of advice about leadership.
I think the most important thing as a leader is to listen more than you speak. I think sometimes we tend to want to have all the answers, but I've always found that listening will bring the answers forward. The other thing is transparency is so critical, especially if you look at what we've been facing during the COVID crisis. We've been incredibly transparent during this pandemic. We actually had the first COVID-19 death in the state of Florida, which put an immediate spotlight on us. We held a press conference, immediately announced it, and we've been doing daily press briefings to keep the press and keep the public aware of what's going on. Something else I would always suggest is to partner with your competitors. I've always said, whether it's dealing with physicians or other health systems, that there is no reason why we can't compete in one arena and collaborate in other arenas. And for years, we've had a tense relationship with the next closest health system. But they've had some new leadership, and now we've worked very, very closely with them. And during this pandemic, we've been sharing policies, procedures. We've been sharing our press briefings with them, doing it together, et cetera. So I think that's important. Something else I would recommend to leaders is to take risks. In this new environment, you have to take some risks. We've taken risks with new payer models, and one of them has not worked. And so when you take risks, you have to recognize that if one is not working and you're going to fail, you got to fail fast and move on. So as a leadership recommendation, I would say take risks, and if it's not working, get out and try something different.
Now, it is someone who's highly educated, practicing OB/GYN for a long time, then went back to school for some management education and so forth. How important is that ability to fail fast, to take those choices, make those choices on strategy, and decide this is working or not working? What's that right balance of sort of thinking through, we're trying this, but we've now given it a year, we've now given it this much money, mm-hmm. and we're better off putting our energies and money and staff and resources into things that are working. What's that balance on that failing fast concept?
Well, it's interesting because one of the biggest challenges that physician leaders have in healthcare is the inability to take risks, because when you practice medicine, you don't take risks. You're looking for sure things, right? You're looking for clinically proven therapies. And when you move into on the business side of it, you've got to be able to have that balance. You've got to be able to say, hey, we're going to try this, and here's our expectations. And I think you need to set clear expectations where we want to be in 3 months, where we want to be in 6 months, and where we want to be in a year, for instance. And as you hit those milestones, you have to decide, okay, did we make it? If we didn't make it, can we modify what we're doing to make it? If we can't, let's pull the plug and let's move on.
Thinking about that on the strategy side, the sort of where do we want to be 6 months from now, 6 years from now, how do you look at strategy as a health system leader?
Well, with all the change happening in healthcare, I think long-term strategy is pretty much out the window. I think you're looking at, 1 to 3 year plans. But even through this pandemic, I can't overstate the importance of setting an innovative strategy and then having the discipline to stick through it. So even in these past few months, we have continued to work on our strategic planning moving forward. We're working with a company called Chartis, and we're looking at where we likely see this medical market in the next few years, where the future, and also how the COVID pandemic has changed. You know, we've gone from doing a handful of telehealth visits a day to doing 1,000 a day. And that clearly changes where you're going to be in the future, what your real estate looks like, working from home, how many people can now work from home. So there's all sorts of things that are evolved consistently. And so we're looking to evolve and focus our strategy on what the future looks like.
Thank you. And finally, when you look at WeHealth's footprint of the areas it serves, do you expect that to be larger in the next 10 years or not? How do you sort of look at that issue in terms of geography?
Well, we're, by the state legislature, we're pretty much confined to operating within our county. Now, we are the dominant provider in the county. We have 95% of the hospital beds. We do have regional programs in trauma and children's care, et cetera, but we see our presence as primarily Lee County, withdrawing in from the region for specialized services like orthopedics, heart, neuro, et cetera. So I think we will see an expansion as we see more referrals from these outlying counties.
Let me ask you another question. What about specific service lines? Are there specific service lines that a system has to double down on to stay relevant, to stay great? Oncology, cardiology, orthopedics, ICU. How do you look at service lines and areas? Is that part of the discussion on strategy?
It definitely is. And if you look at a community like ours, where we have a double the over 65 population than the rest of the country, we have to gear our strategy towards the population we serve. And I think you mentioned exactly the service lines we're looking at. Cardiovascular is enormous. Orthopedics is enormous. Certainly oncology. We have a regional cancer center here. And neurology. We have a comprehensive stroke program. So those are the programs that we look at moving forward. In addition to that, women's and children's is an enormous part of our service line. We do over 6,000 deliveries a year. So we have a significant women's service and a significant pediatric service with our children's hospital.
And as you look at focusing on those kinds of things, with the elderly population, the more Medicare eligible, how much does that play into higher alert status about COVID-19 and so forth?
Well, when you look at the data that's coming out of Florida, what we're seeing is that 85% of the deaths are in patients over 65. And we've had as many deaths of people over 90 than we've had under 65. So it clearly affects your decision making as to what kind of services you provide, what kind of capital expenditures you have. It's just part of the equation.
No, absolutely. Dr. Antonucci, any shout out for your great team and the entire WeHealth system that you'd like to provide?
Absolutely. I mean, I've never been prouder to be part of this medical community. And as I said, I've been part of this community for 37 years. To see the team respond the way they have under the conditions that they've had to operate under has been truly inspiring. With new guidelines coming out every day, concern about yourself, your own health, your family's health. It's been truly remarkable to watch this. And in addition to that, to look at the way this community has responded, we've received thousands of masks, food deliveries to our staff members, truly remarkable. And we've actually raised over $1 million in donations to help our staff members, our patients, et cetera. So it's been a community-wide effort. But the staff has just responded in a way that I've been so proud of. It's been truly remarkable.
Dr. Antonucci, I appreciate you so much joining us today. What a pleasure visiting with you and hearing about your leadership journey, hearing about how you look at strategy, leadership, and at WeHealth, and how proud you are of the system. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure, Scott.
This is Scott Becker thanking our listeners for joining us today with Dr. Larry Antonucci, the CEO and president of WeHealth, a great system. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.